But this man was going to be committed to a woman. And I thought, well, what would he want?
Elena Cardone
started her career in Hollywood, a lifelong competitive sports shooter, and now wife, mother, author, businesswoman.
You had no interest in me. You want to talk about that from the get-go?
None, zero.
So what did I do? I just started for the next year becoming the person ultimately that I wanted to be, but also that would show up on the radar for him and for me. I said, if that guy exists, I could be with that guy for the rest of my life. I could get rid of all of that. And he appeared very quickly after.
Tribe listeners, I have an extremely exciting announcement for all of you. Do you want to come hang out with Cody Sanchez, David Osborne, David Green, Rich Roll, and even yours truly down in Austin, Texas? Well, let's do it. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, for the first time ever, GoBundance, the exclusive millionaire membership group, is opening up an event to anyone, man, woman, millionaire or not, and we're calling it the Austin Entrepreneurial Summit. At the AES, you'll meet all those people I mentioned, plus GoBundance members on both the men's and women's side, and I'll be there hanging out the entire time. Every event I've ever attended for GoBundance has given me a disproportionate return on the money spent and the time spent to get there. And this is the biggest one that GoBundance has ever done. So if you're a member, not a member, and you're looking to supercharge the second part of your year 2024, this event in May is a great way to get that all kickstarted. Go to GoBundance.com/AES right now for early bird pricing for members and guests. And warning, the power of GoBundance events is that it holds you accountable long after you're gone to achieving whatever goals you've set. So this event will change your life. GoBundance.com/AES. I'll see you there. Let's get back to the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tribe of Millionaires podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Gruber, and today's guest, Elena Cardone, started her career in Hollywood and soon became a successful model and actress of TV and film fame, a lifelong competitive sports shooter, and now wife, mother, author, businesswoman, empire builder, event producer, mentor, public speaker, and visionary. She's the author of the best-selling book, Build an Empire, How to Have It All. Really good book. She's the executive producer of massively successful events that include 10X Ladies, Operation 10X Badass, Build an Empire Mastermind, and her own show, Women in Power, amongst many, many other things. Elena, welcome.
Wow, man, I sound important hearing that. Thank you so much.
Extremely important. One of the things that's not in there that you've described yourself as is an enlightened spiritual being. What does that mean?
That's amazing. Yeah, I think I said that at one of my conferences. It means I'm aware of, and I've done a lot of courses on to really just kind of explore the area of spirituality. And what does that mean? You know, it means enlightened means you have knowledge in a certain area. So I consider myself an enlightened spiritual being at this point.
Makes sense. How important is it to recognize that versus admit it? In other words, you're saying it out loud, right? That's something that some people might be like, what do you mean you're enlightened? You're a spiritual being. Even I've heard you saying a billionaire can feel a little strange for you still.
Yeah.
To say, yeah, we're billionaires.
Right.
So how important is it to say it versus simply recognize it?
Well, it all depends on what it is that you're claiming. For me, as a spiritual being, that's how I identify myself as. I don't identify myself as, and I know those are, you know, buzzwords these days, but, you know, as a spiritual being, right? I consider myself like the energy has never been destroyed, created, it just goes on, right? So if you really look at it from that aspect, I would have lived before, and then I would have lived into the future. Like, only this body dies. Me as a spiritual being does not die. So that alone is kind of a liberating concept. Like, wow, I cannot be, the spiritual being cannot be destroyed, nor can it really be harmed. Now, you can do these things to my body and I can hurt and feel pain. I'm using this instrument to be seen on this physical universe at this moment in time. But I don't really see myself as, like, obviously to play the game in this world. Yes, I'm a female. I identify as a female, but I don't identify myself as a female as a spiritual being. Like, as a spiritual being, I want to create long effects and, you know, make a difference for the better and set myself up in the future. Like, my future doesn't end when this physical body drops and dies. Like, that's not what my beliefs are. So I would never tell anyone what to believe in, because that's not my, I don't judge. I don't like, I'm not going to tell you what to believe in. That's up to you. But for me, I look at things differently. I play a game that's very different. Oftentimes I'm in this game, playing this game, but I pop out of it to be sort of a bird's eye view and kind of assess how I'm playing the game and then come back in to play the game. I try not to get so wrapped up. I'm aware that I'm playing a game on this planet right now. You know, it's a game.
Yeah, 100%. Now that makes a lot of sense. The identify with that, or I align with that in so many ways, to your point that, you know, we are larger than just the time that we are on this earth. This ties into really chapter one of your book, Purpose. You talked about purpose as this thing that you have, this thing, this like armor that you have as you go through the world. So enlightened spiritual being, how does that play into what your purpose is in life? I guess, what is your purpose and how does being an enlightened spiritual being inform that?
Well, my purpose in life is I want to empower women, protect children, and restore the family unit on this planet. So that's how my spirituality aligns into it. I also have the purpose to support Grant and his mission, which is, you know, to create financial freedom and legacy for people to know about so that they can also take care of their families financially and whatnot. So along those lines, look, like I believe there's different dynamics to existence. One is me as a self and how I take care of myself. And that's me with me, right? That could be my physical body, whatever. The second is more of the family. And like, how well are you surviving as yourself? Well, if you look at the dynamics as I explain them, you can understand how our spirituality and how Grant and I are on the same page with this mission. So the second one is the family, right? It's how well do you live through your family, the children, the procreation, your family, how well are you doing? Like if you take responsibility that is your second dynamic, right? And then the third is a group. How well are you doing with your group? How well are my friends doing? If you played tennis, your tennis group, your charity group, how well is the staff doing? How are we doing? How well are we surviving as a group? And then the fourth dynamic is mankind. How well are we doing and surviving as mankind? So I've been able to, as this enlightened spiritual being, has knowledge. And then there's other dynamics beyond that, but those are the only four let's talk about and take up right now. So, you know, there was a time in my life where I could barely take care of myself. Like, there was no concept that I could even be married or have kids. Like, there was no realm or thought that I could flourish and prosper and thrive as a second dynamic. It was just me, only me, and I was not doing a good job at that. But as I've kind of had awareness and started to look at things differently and take responsibility for certain areas of my life, and I've had some awarenesses of how I've done things and created certain circumstances in my life that I can now actually be determined over to not have those situations happen. I can be a cause over my life now. So you can kind of see how I went from, okay, I can take care of myself. I'm doing pretty good in that area. The second, I'm doing pretty good in that area. Now that is a tricky one and it's hard. You know, I'm not saying we're perfect, sure, you know, by any means, but I think I'm doing really well. And then we could take responsibility for the group. Like, you know, our employees, our staff, the people in our circle, they're clean. They're ethical. Like, I take very big precautions to protect who gets let inside of the empire. And if people are not doing well around us, we don't want them around us. Like, that's what should happen when you're in our environment and our ecosystem. Why? Because we have a mission. We have core values. We're trying to do good. We're trying to make a difference. So if somebody comes into the ecosystem and they're not thriving, then the exchange is not there. Like, move on. Maybe we're not your people. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe your intentions could be hidden and more not aligned with ours. So as we've been able to then take responsibility for that group, now Grant and I are looking at, well, now how do we make a global impact? And so you can imagine somebody that could barely take care of themselves globally blew my mind. Like, how do I make global impact? A, I've come from what gives you the audacity to even think so big? Like, you can actually affect or change the world. Like, you know, I have those voices that have been ingrained in me or came from wherever. It doesn't even matter where or why or however. It's just now that we've been able to hit certain targets and points in our lives, now we want to go global and really be able to exchange our products and services with the world. And, you know, so my purpose with empowering women, I believe, you know, I believe that a woman empowered not only lives up to her full potential, but then can help her partner to reach heightened levels of success and then handle the kids and the community and the world. And I just, you know, believe that women, I want to support women in that because I think women have massive power and influence. And once they own who they are as a spiritual being or not, but if they own their power, they can have great influence and we can change the trajectory of this planet. Because right now I see the fourth dynamic, this mankind, right? Because we're a species. I see the species called humankind could be better in sure. working with each other. I don't think until we're not fighting, until we're in a sane world without drugs, without war, then my mission and my little sector that I'm willing and able to take responsibility for is the empowerment of women, protecting children, and restoring the family unit. I want men and women to get beyond this. I need to be independent. I don't need you. Blah, 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 blah. And figure out, okay, we did that game. How do we figure out actually how to work together, strengthen numbers, build an empire, and actually make a difference for the better on this planet? So anything that doesn't fall in that category of my purpose, it goes to the wayside because I got my hands full trying to think that I can actually change the world. But I'm, you know, I have the audacity and courage enough to say, why not? If I fell short and affected millions in a positive way, then okay, I'm okay with that.
I know it took the first few years of marriage for you and Grant to really, for you to come into this, what you just described, all of what you just described. It wasn't initially how you started, but something you did prior to marriage that I heard you talk about was really interesting in that you wrote out the attributes of the man you wanted to manifest. And I think most Grant embodies, it was like green eyes and 6'2", maybe he doesn't, short guy, I get it. But the other side that you did with that was you took this avatar of a man, Grant or whoever, and you said, well, what would the woman that attracts that man look like? And you wrote out essentially that attribute list and I believe leaned into it. What were some of the things? I look, Grant has his haters, he has his lovers, right? He has people that you know are passionate either way about him. But you can't deny the level of success that you and he have had together. So when you're making this list of attributes to attract a high quality, high value man, what were some of them and how did you go about leaning into those?
Well, at the time when I wrote them, I thought, well, if this man was going to be committed to a woman, because that's what I wanted, monogamy, commitment, family, because I just thought that would be the characteristics of somebody. And I thought, well, what would he want? He would want a family woman who could be married, who could be monogamous, who doesn't drink or you know, do drugs or that kind of a thing. And at that time, I had already stopped doing drugs, but I still did excessive alcohol here and there. And I was, you know, I was a single woman. So, you know, I dated. I wasn't like this crazy slut kind of a woman, but you know what I mean? I wasn't commitment oriented. I always thought I can't be with a guy for the rest of my life because how boring is that? I always thought a man would hold me down and cheat on me. And so what I had done was actually created a pattern where I made myself very right in those scenarios. So I just casted the guys that would fulfill that role so I could say, see, a man holds me back and they all cheat and they all suck and I don't need them for anything. And I didn't look at, wow, okay, when I was with a guy in those circumstances, acting like I don't need you and I'm going to do whatever I want when I want, and you're not telling me what, that actually created an effect of where maybe they wanted to go be with a woman that would make them feel important and wanted. Like, who wants to be in a relationship if somebody doesn't want them? So I really looked at that and taking responsibility at that time. So what did I do? I was like, no, I don't want to date right now anyone until I figure out myself. I stopped drinking. I started doing some self-enhancement, really started to just take care of myself in a different way, working out, taking care of my body. I figured if I want that of him, he would probably want a woman that was doing that as well, like working out and taking care of the way she looks. And so, yeah, I just started for the next year becoming the person ultimately that I wanted to be, but also that would show up on the radar for him and for me. Because that guy wasn't showing up in my radar because I was doing another thing and I wasn't showing up on his radar. Well, actually, I kind of was, because right after I wrote the list, immediately after Grant came into the fold, but for the next 13 months, as I was self-enhancing and really looking at, well, if this guy, Avatar, as you called him, actually existed, because I said in the all the over 100 plus qualities that I wrote, I said, wow, he could actually lift me up, could actually, you know, I was like everything. I was like great in bed, like all the considerations that I had, why I couldn't be with a guy forever. But I was like, if this guy actually showed up ethically ambitious, you know, wanted to take care of his wife, his family, the this, the that, like treated women with women and children with respect and love. Like, I wrote the whole thing, right? I said, if that guy exists, I could be with that guy for the rest of my life. I could get rid of all of that. And he appeared very quickly after, but I couldn't see it yet because I believe I hadn't really worked and evolved enough on myself. Like you said, the first two items on the list was 6'2" and green eyes. So that eliminated him. What I should have done was, you know, instead of 6'2" and green eyes, like somebody that I'm attracted to or that doesn't have an issue that I'm a tall woman. The 6'2" came out of, in the past, guys telling me not to wear heels or trying to make me feel bigger. I want to feel little and dainty. Like, that's just me. Like, I don't want to feel like, huh, you know. And so even though Grant is not as tall as me, it's never been a consideration. He's never told me not to wear high heels. He's such a giant being to me that I see him as a big being. I don't feel bigger than him. He's very big and macho. And so it's never come up for me where I've actually felt awkward or, you know, anyway.
Yeah. It makes sense. So I'm curious on this. It's a great exercise for somebody that's either trying to attract a mate and or maybe you could do it within your marriage for somebody that might be struggling with like, what do I value about this marriage or whatever? But not only to say what I need, but like, who do I need to be for that person to accept, you know, what I want kind of thing. For you, and this might be for anybody listening, some of this or a lot of this, I think, roots back to the relationship with your dad, your mom. I think your dad, you've said, sort of maybe resented the fact that he had a family. It prevented him from fame in his mind, or at least your interpretation of that. And I think he's passed since. But how much in this process did you need to, or does somebody need to, confront some of these childhood demons? Was that part of it? Or was it just like a moment where this switch went off for you and you had this epiphany, like, I'm just going to build this list and then, you know, figure out the attributes I need to become. So how much does childhood play into an exercise like that?
Well, I was not consciously aware of thinking about a childhood incident or drama or this or that. I was forced into the scenario at that time. I used to hang out with a lot of guys. I rebuilt cars. I was a champion shooter. I hung out with a lot of guys. I was always a tomboy. And I met a girlfriend, not a girlfriend, but like a girlfriend. You gotta be careful. People not from here misunderstand that term. But anyway, she brought me to a like this girl party, I guess that they have. And that's when you wrote the list. And I was kind of eye rolling, like, oh my God, this is why I don't hang out with women. This is so like, oh my God, like strangle me now. But that was the epiphany moment for me because I was playing along. I was like, oh, maybe I need more girls like in my life. You know, I should do this. And that's when I wrote the list And that you put it in a little necklace, which the necklace turned my, and you weren't supposed to take it off until it fell off. And my neck was green with this copper necklace until it finally wore off and fell off. But yeah, that was my epiphany moment when I wrote the list and I said, well, if this guy existed, I could be with that person for the rest of my life. And then I said, wait a minute, can I just be open to the possibility that this man could exist? And then I thought, okay, it was 7 billion at the time, people on the planet, this guy's got to exist. Can you just be open to that possibility? And I said, yes, I can be open to that possibility, even though I didn't believe it. And then when all the other girls at the table were like, I deserve this and this and this and this, something different, a cognition hit me in a different way. When I saw the list, I went, huh, what would he be writing down as his list? And that's when I started writing his list from his point of view. And then I compared it to my life and saw, wow, no, I don't think I deserve that. I mean, it's not that I don't deserve that or I'm degrading myself. I just think that if I want that guy, I need to be that girl because it's not fair. And that's when I really went on this year-long process of self-enhancing and what do I need to do and how do I think relationships could work? And, you know, and again, Grant immediately, within a week or two after that incident came into my life, didn't see him, couldn't see him. And for the next 13 months, as I was working on myself, he was calling, leaving messages on my answering machine twice a month, every month with no return phone call until one day it hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow, like I can see what's in front of me for the first time. And I had never experienced a man in my life in that way. And it was deep and it was incredible. And, you know, the guy had patience with me because even when we started dating, I was still doing my little antics to push people away and not have this. And he was just always seemed to be humored by me until I finally was able to let that wall come down and really just start to build this thing and take responsibility. Like, if this thing doesn't work out, I'm going to be okay. I've always landed on my feet. I'm not a victim. I'm good. And that really helped me to just kind of go all in.
I'm really curious, as a quick aside, and I want to touch back on something you just talked about, but did he ever say, I've never heard him say, how many more attempts he was willing to make? It's 26 attempts without a phone call back. Was he at the end or was he just getting started?
I've never asked him that question, honestly. But knowing what I know about Grant, I've seen him call car dealership. This was in the beginning of our marriage. I've seen him call on a car dealership at least 75 times, getting hung up on. And I've just been mind blown, like, dude, what are you doing? Leave the guy alone. And Grant's like, leave the guy alone. Why would I give up on somebody? And I was like, wow. He was like, he doesn't know what's best for him. I do. I know what's best for him. It's my responsibility to keep showing up for that guy until he realizes what's best for him. So that showed me that he has belief in his own products, belief in himself, and he's willing to do whatever to make it go right. And I'll tell you another story. The night he met me, he called his mom and said, well, anyway, that's another story. But he called his mom and said, I have good news and I have bad news. And she said, well, what's the good news, son? And he said, well, I met the woman that I'm going to marry. And she said, well, what's the bad news? And he said, well, she hates my guts. And the mom said, well, you know, son, it takes two. And Grant tells the story where he had the epiphany where it doesn't take two. It only takes one with a decision to make it go right. And then to tie that all back in and give Grant credit, he says, it's not stalking if it works. So I don't know, yeah, you know, where he was at in all of that, but he never gave me reason to be afraid for those 13 months. He was always, sure, you know, funny on the messages. And, you know, I just didn't even think twice about it. I didn't force. He wasn't stalking me, never showed up where I was at. It was never weird. It was just a non-event for me.
The 75 calls, the 13 months, two times a month, all of that. Like you said, there's a level of persistence and a belief in himself, a belief in what he has, a belief in what he offers you as well. Where does identity play in? Meaning, I have to believe that in order to have that level of persistence and belief, then you're believing in a different identity than maybe that may be present. You're not a billionaire, but you believe you are. And these are the behaviors of a billionaire, something like that. I'm curious how does your belief in a future identity, if at all, play into this level of persistence, or is it something else?
Well, I can't speak for Grant, but I will tell you that I live from the future. It's been the biggest game changer for me in my life and changing our trajectory. You know, I'm a visionary, so I see things differently than Grant. He's the hammer. He's the day-to-day operations. He makes it work. You know, he used to call me, she's got magic. But he used to downgrade that magic until now he's a believer. But for me, it's very important for that identity. Because when I lived from the past, by the way, time, I think, is all kind of made up anyway. We decided calendar year, 365 days, like we made that up. Like, so it's made up. So we made up that we live past, present, future. And I know it's a difficult concept, but I was like, okay, can I be open to the possibility that maybe we can live, you know, future, present, past, like past meaning right now, you know what I mean? Like, can we do that? And I was like, well, why not? If it's all made up, just play along and see where it gets you. So I'll give you the circumstance. So I used to live from the past. And so every circumstance that I would do, or book that didn't change my world, or conference I went to, or bad situation that I went through, would always pull me back to the past of, you see, you can't get that right. You've never been able to make this happen. Who do you think you are? Every little thing would pull me back into the, see, no, because I had never done it before. Right? And so I wasn't progressing because nothing worked. You see, that didn't work. Oh, you said you were going to do a diet, then you ate bad food. You see, you don't keep your word. Like, everything was stuck in the past. And then one day I realized, you know, I'm going to live from the future. What does that look like? And I created this image, kind of like the characteristics. Who am I? What do I know about? What are the friends that I have? $1 billion was the prescription that I wrote to myself to see if I could manifest that. And that's another story. But I said the billion, the this, the that, which was so unthinkable to a person like myself who's never been to college and thought she was pretty, you know, not smart her whole life. I can do other things really well, but not book smart. But I am now because I've learned how to learn. But anyway, $1 billion, this, that. And I said, okay, now from that picture, all I have to do is reverse engineer. And how do I know about finances? How do I know about sales? How do I understand how to speak in front of people? What is the influence that I have to make? What are the connections that I have to do? What are the network? How do I reverse engineer and then be here in the present? So it's be. I'm going to wear the hat of that future self now. Be, wear the beingness. It's not, what's the other thing they always ask me about? Imposter syndrome. I'm not being an imposter because I'm not spending money I don't have, nor did I ever. I don't violate principles that a smart person about money would never do. You know what I'm saying? I wore the hat of a billionaire. I kept it to myself. You know, and then I took the action. So it's be, do, and then you have. Most people have it backwards. Most people think they have to have the picture in order to be the thing. And that's why a lot of people that do end up having the picture of being a movie star or mega rich or this or that, when they're not that thing and it doesn't fulfill them and they don't have the beingness, that's why they're kind of wrecked about it. You know, and so I just believe every stumbling block that I have from this point forward and how this changed the trajectory of our life is everything that doesn't work or every betrayal or upset or problem or whatever was just what I needed to go through to apply a policy that works for me in the future, or it helped expand me, or I can take more responsibility, or, you know, everything that I go through is now to get me to the place that I needed to be. I needed to go through that in order to become my future self. So you see, it doesn't push me back. See, you don't, you can't, whatever. Now I look at every win, every challenge, everything as, okay, this is an opportunity for me to get on the other side to become that person that I need to be. And before you knew it, after about, I don't know, 12 years or 14 years, I don't remember I'd have to do the math, but of how long it took us to actually make that dream come into fruition. It wasn't terribly long, because when I told Granny Ed to become a billionaire, he was furious at me. You know, I can't even tell you everything that he called me. But once I explained what the logic was,
what was it? What was the logic?
Well, there was a few different things. So one is, I'll just get the greedy one out of the way first. The greedy one is that when a man of that magnitude has that much energy and that much, is the word ferocity?
Sure.
Has that much and they don't have it directed to their full potential, that energy was coming at me. And it was a lot for me to deal with. And that's when I was like, no, I'm not the target. I'm not the enemy. You're playing too small of a game. That's your goal. The billionaire goal is your goal. And I'll help you get there and I'll support you, but that's your target. So it took that energy and made him full time on something else. Now, Grant at the time had sales and marketing and scaling, and he wanted to reach 8 billion people on planet Earth, which I like because I'm a big thinker. So I thought to myself, well, you know, how does he reach 7 or 8 billion people? Like, I started looking at the Forbes list. Like, those people are known, right, with their products and services. So a billion was a target and a trophy to say, if we hit a billion, A, who would we have had to expand out to be in order to have that? And how many people would have had to exchange your products and services to get out there? So I believe in him. I'm his biggest fan. So that's why I wanted him to become a billionaire. If you're going to teach people and you want to fast track people's way to success financially, you can't do it being a millionaire these days. I mean, the normal person could look at us and say, oh, you know, how can you say that? But for me, if you really wanted to get attention, you have to do something that normal people don't and aren't doing. And so if you're a billionaire, you have a statistic to back you that no matter, as you said earlier, some people love them, some people hate them, you know? No matter how they feel about you, you cannot fight a statistic and a stat. And who wouldn't listen to a billionaire? I put myself in the shoes way before. I thought, who wouldn't take a billionaire's phone call? You know, so if I get hung up on now, it still hurts, but at least I'm like, okay, there's calls that I make where I think they'll never take my call. And they took my call. And I'm like, this really worked. This was my vision. So that was why I said you have to be a billionaire. It wasn't, you know, contrary to some people's viewpoint, that I needed a billion to be somebody. I don't hide behind that. Again, I'm an enlightened spiritual being. Yeah. So, you know, I don't need clothes or a plane or a Chanel to be me. I'm me. Me is what is me that cannot be taken or destroyed by anyone, no matter what. You can take money and material things. You cannot take my courage, my commitment, my moral compass. You can't take away me, no matter what you would try to do to this physical body. I'm me. I don't need anything to be me. I know who I am.
Some women listening to this might say, man, I have a guy, my husband. I mean, you know, we do. It's really interesting the way you put it, like redirecting that ferocious energy at me. I'm not the enemy. I'm the right. So, but for a lot of women, I feel they might say, or they would say, that I have to sacrifice certain things, or, you know, like my having him with us as a family. I'm going to have to sacrifice time or, you know, the element of fatherhood that I want him to participate in. Did you have to sacrifice any of that, or did you not look at it as a sacrifice? What's the challenge in pushing a guy with that kind of energy toward his highest potential?
Well, I do say, what are you willing to give up in order to get where you want to go? And so I cannot get to that chair unless I leave this comfortable chair right now and actually make a change. So Grant and I definitely went into sacrifice phase. We started this togetherness and alignment while I was pregnant with my first child. So we understood that for a period of time, we were going to pay any price. And we did. And I'm not saying it's right for everyone, but I did sacrifice date nights, going out. You know, I told him to reach 8 billion people. So if I'm on a date and he's on his phone trying to reach people or send a message out, it doesn't give me the right in our relationship, the way I set it up, to say, put your phone down, don't reach people that are going to help us, because people have everything you want and we need to expand and reach 8 billion people. But now, and we have zero chance of actually doing it, if you want to be real about it. And then I'm going to say, on top of that, you need to time out for 2 hours. So I did and was willing to sacrifice a lot of things. If he couldn't be at one of my child's birthday parties, I use this example a lot, actually, but many times it was never, oh, your father's never around or this or that. It's, now we get to have 2 birthday parties, the one with your friends and the one with the family, and yay, and balloons and whatnot. And they never knew the difference because I wasn't telling them, your father can't make your birthday party because he's out trying to become a billionaire and he's not paying any attention to us. I never did that. We had each other's back. We knew each other's role. We covered for each other in the scenario. You know, every single night that guy was on Periscope or the Clubhouse or whatever number of ones that have come and gone, every single night the man was getting us known, him known, getting attention. You know, you have no idea what it took to fill an arena of 34,000 people here at Marlins Stadium. Like, there's no time to say, when do you pay attention to me? Now we're in a place where we hit the targets. Now we're regrouping and assessing, saying, okay, now is some time. Let's you and I get aligned on how we can really nurture the relationship more. We've always had an incredible relationship. Obviously, there's deep love there. There's deep respect. And I believe the definition of love is helping somebody achieve their goals and their dreams. When somebody's doing that for me, I'm in, I got your back, I love you forever, because nothing makes me feel better, and vice versa. So we did that, but we didn't have all this romantic handhold time, like feel good, like la 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 moments. I'm not knocking them, I love them, I want them now. So now we're learning to do that more. And for the first time, like Grant says, we paid the price so we could pay any price in the future. So for the last 2 years, we've been able to take our family on these yacht trips through the south of France, which, if you don't have that in your bucket list, put it down. Like, because we've taken just our family on these 2-week trips where we're seeing the world and it's just us. There's no assistance or, you know, people around. It's just us. So we get that luxury now. You know, we get the luxury to have our kids homeschooled so they can travel with us when we have to work. We have our own plane that makes life very comfortable for us. So they understand too. My kids understand from a very young age, this is who we are. We're Team Cardone. We want to make a difference for the better. And this is how we do it. And this is how you can help us do it, by being a team member and a family member, a contributing member on this team. So when I have to go out or Papa has to go out, when you are not being a distraction and you allow us to do that to help people, do you realize that you're actually helping people when you allow us to help people? That's an exchange member. Like, they might not see you in the background doing that, but you are an exchange with this family when you allow us to do that. So we've had many conversations, you know, with the kids. I'm like, there's benefits to our lifestyle and there are negatives. You know, the negative is we need to have security. So you can't just go off and do whatever you want in every circumstance, you know?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
But
that makes sense.
We have X, Y, and Z. You know, some of your other friends can go do whatever, but they also haven't gone to 19 countries in 2019. You know, they haven't made pizza in Italy or didn't go to the chocolate factory in wherever. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not sure. Seeing the world. So it's, you know, what might suck in one area is something that you have to sacrifice in order for us to have this in this area. So
that makes sense.
You know,
that makes sense. Flip that around for me if you can. So if I'm a guy listening to this, that's married, kids, whatever, and it's like, wow, you know, Elena tells Grant become a billionaire and I'm going to sacrifice like the phone on date night alone. That's like, whew. Is there advice that you could give to a guy with ferocious energy and how to approach the conversation with his wife?
Yeah, I do have advice for that. I have a few tips and advice for that. One, include your wife, because probably the reason why she's resentful is you're going to do whatever you're going to do with or without her, and she doesn't feel good about it, and she's resentful of your work. So if you can find and have a conversation with her of like inclusion, you know, and you can actually hear, what are your long-term goals? Where do you want us to be in 5 years, 10 years? You want college, you want this, you want a South of France trip. What do you want? And then reverse engineer the plan and figure out, you know, there's me and my goals and there's you as the wife and your goals, but who are we together? What do we represent as a couple? Are we the fighting couple, the non-contributing couple? Like, who are we as a couple? Like, how do we get on the same team wearing the same jersey instead of fighting each other? How do we come together to be community leaders or, you know, even just a good role model or, you know, a model couple? That was something I wanted from years ago. At the time that I put that down, we weren't. We were fighting all the time, you know, and now that holds us accountable. Because I think to myself when I'm upset with him, what would that look like if people saw this? And then I'm like, okay, I got to get over it faster because we got to get back on the same page, reaching our goals together. Because every time we're fighting, the team that wants us divorced, the team that wants us to lose all of our money, the team that has all the counter intention, if I have intention to do good, a counter intention would be people that don't want us to do well. So a lot of those times when I see that we are struggling, I think, how can I get this back on the rails? A, because I'm running out of time to reach in those 8 billion people. And B, the more that we are fighting, the more that side is winning. So that's what I would say, is to just really figure out with your partner how y'all can get on the same page and aligned as to where you're going together, then figure out the roles and who's going to do what to manage that. So you're not vying for a power position and you're not vying for a power position, but you actually come up with the agreements that say, I run this and you run that, and I'm going to trust your decisions in that area and you're going to trust my decisions in this area. I'm the boss of this and you're the boss of that. I'm responsible for this division, et cetera, so that now you're not fighting each other, but working together with each other in those areas. And lastly, one more thing. Guys, if you're trying to turn your wife into a beast and an animal, you need to ask yourself, you know, oh, my wife's not motivated, this and that, if I had this or that. Well, I am not the beast. I am a beast. I've turned into a beast, but I'm not the real beast. I mean, in that area.
Sure.
Grant is the beast. I did something completely different. I helped create a distraction-free environment. I supported him. I helped infrastructure, mindset, the this, the that. Grant didn't need two Grants. Grant needed highest and best usage of my attributes and strengths and his combined to get us to a heightened level of success. So, you know, really look at what it is that you want. If you have a person who's willing to be in that support role, which to me is you have to be stronger than the thing you're supporting, right? That is what support means. The definition of support means to bear the weight of, right? To be strong enough to bear the weight of, like a support beam. So I played a support role, which I was not happy with for a long time. I thought, oh God, this diminishes me as a woman. Like, that's such a nasty word, support, until I really looked at it and examined it. And I said, wait, if I'm the support beam supporting Grant and everything that comes along with it, wouldn't I have to be stronger than the thing I'm supporting? So from that epiphany onward, I said, never again will I apologize for being in the support role. As a matter of fact, I'm going to own it. And that's why in the very beginning of this call, you asked me what my purpose and why I want to empower women, because now I want to bring what I brought to the table with Grant, which is being the woman beside, behind the man, however you feel comfortable labeling or calling that. Now I want to be the woman behind the women. Why don't the women get a woman? That's my superhero, is support. So if I can support women in infrastructure, mindset, and support, I want to build women so they can build their empires, so that we can change this trajectory of the world together. So I am now on a spiritual legacy play to see, hey, I was tried and true with the man. I'm not neglecting that role, but now can I do it for the millions and millions and millions of women? And that's what excites me about life now.
This makes me want to ask this question, and it's a little bit of a hacky question, so I want to ask it in a way that may be a little more impactful. But the question at the core of it is sort of like, you know, does Elena make Grant or Grant make Elena? That's a silly question, because the easy answer is obviously both of you played a role in where you both are today, right? It's a partnership. But let me ask it this way, assuming and understanding that both of you have drive, ambition, and you work on these dynamic self, family, groups, and mankind, you would have each have had success with or without each other.
True.
Which statement is more true? Grant is not Grant without Elena, or Elena is not Elena without Grant? Which statement is more true? The key to life, it isn't money. It's happiness. And when you measure how happy you are, you actually become even more happy. Our friends at GoBundance, the tribe of millionaires, use a very specific tool to measure their happiness. It's called the Life Happiness Index. And you can have it too. Go over to GoBundance.com/LHI and take your Life Happiness Index assessment. You'll rate yourself in multiple categories on exactly how happy you are and get a custom output for you specifically that you can use in developing whatever goals you have for your life. GoBundance is the tribe of healthy, wealthy, generous people who choose to live epic lives. And the tool GoBundance members use at the base of all of that is the Life Happiness Index. Get out there and grab life big.
Neither, because, you know, again, taking it back to spiritually, I'm a spiritual being. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
I'm my own spiritual being. I don't need Grant to make me a spiritual being. I am a spiritual being. So I will answer it like this. What I take credit for is I believe Grant would have been, and there's just things I can never take away. I mean, from his accomplishments. Not him as a spiritual being, can't touch that. But his accomplishments, he was destined and determined to create a very big influence and success financially and however you want it. And that was his 100%. But everyone caps out and can only do 100% no matter what. The purpose of a partner is to help the person from where they cap out at 100% to hit a heightened level of success. So that's where I came in, to push to a heightened level of success. So the cap out part is Grant. Everything in the accomplishments above that, the heightened level of success, that's what I take credit for. And that's what he should take credit for in my life, because he has been a massive mentor, influencer, person for me, and has tremendously, from what he has provided in my life, has, you know, strengthened me as a woman. And I never thought that would come through the version of a man, but he, without him being there, I would not be who I've evolved into being, this powerful, independent, dependent, however you see it, woman, without Grant giving me either mentorship or circumstances where I've had to rise up and expand as a spiritual being myself. So
yeah, makes sense.
That's where I see it.
One of the things that's really inspiring about the story for both of you, and this may be my perspective. I think I told you at the jump, I left a corporate job. I was 21 years there. So I left at 42, 21 to 42. I worked in the same company and climbed the ranks. So there's sort of a reset for me at 42, and it can feel strange, right? Like, by this age, kind of settle in. But Grant, doing the timeline, you almost lost everything when he was in his late 40s, right? So he's reinvented and restarted even older than I am. And that's something that, again, people like him, people hate him, but for me is extremely inspiring. But one thing I wanted to ask you that I asked him, be curious your answer, and then I'll tell you what he said. I asked him, okay, given the amount of influence you've built, and given the business and portfolio of real estate you've built, if I told you, and I'm asking you this question, Elena, if I told you you could only have one, you can have the audience or you can have the business and real estate portfolio, which one do you keep?
The real estate portfolio. What does he say? The people, because he's...
No, he said like, the same. You're aligned.
No, really?
I'm surprised.
He always says $1 billion or $1 billion friends. And he always picks the friends, the billion friends.
Yeah. On that day, he said, I think his exact words, I ain't never getting rid of my fucking portfolio. I think that was his exact words.
Well, I don't have as foul of a mouth. So there you go. But yeah, the real estate portfolio has been very good to us. And it is wealth creation, sure. Having a cash flow. So that's another conversation probably for another day. But again, he told me, I count to 21 on my fingers at the blackjack table. Grant was like, never do that again. My point is, I'm not good with math. And so when I was insecure about that, he said, the only three things you need to know about money is how to earn it, how to store it, and how to multiply it. So, and most people don't know that sequence or apply it. So we've done that for our whole history. We still don't violate that principle. Earned income goes to either stored to get put into real estate, or it gets stored to put back into self-enhancement or the business. Earned income does not go buy Gucci, Chanel, a home, a plane. The only thing that does that, and we dumped all of that money during sacrifice phase into the apartments and the multifamily, is we will only pay for trophies or toys or whatever you want to call it with cash flow. And our rule is we will only buy it if we could pay for it twice in cash from the cash flow. So we redo the whole, we do the circle all the time. We earn, store, and invest in income producing assets, our successful formula. What that makes us do is we go broke every time we do that, because now it's in real estate and it can't be pulled out.
Right.
So then we have to go reinvent, which makes us stronger, because a lot of millionaires who are the experts on Instagram made a few million, but now what are they doing? Now they're terrified that they're going to lose it.
Sure.
Because they haven't dumped it and restarted. We've done that so many times. We are so competent and, dependent on ourselves and our abilities that's why when people ask me, what would you do if you lost all your money? I said, it would suck. But so, we have the resources, we have our knowingness, we know how to apply the formula. And I say, it wouldn't take us as long the second time to build it as it did the first time.
Sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah. That's why I thought audience might be the answer, was like, if you lost it, the billion friends thing. But I love it. You guys are very much aligned. So Elena, where can people learn more about you? What are you focused on? Where do you want to direct folks?
Man, I have so much going on. If people went to Elena Cardone, ElenaCardone, ElenaCardone.com, you can see everything that I'm doing. I do everything from give away the 5 pillars to success to my book is free to where, and all of that is on the website. I do a 10X couples retreat twice a year for couples that want to get on the same page as us. We're looking for like-minded people. We don't really get out much. I mean, that's just the truth. So when we do, we want to be around people like us and develop friendships. I have 10X Ladies, which I do annually every year. That's a super big event with about 1,000 women and men. And then 4 times a year, I do Build an Empire Masterminds, where I focus ones on empire mindset or master your money or dynamic relationships or how to make it all manifest. And that's a guy, girl, not just strictly geared towards women like 10X Ladies is, but that's my whole umbrella of pretty much everything that I'm working on and do as my branch underneath Cardone Training Technologies. My branch is 10X Ladies Empire. And that's, they go to my website, you can see everything that I'm doing there.
Beautiful. Elena, I appreciate you taking the time today. It was great getting to know you.
Yeah, same. Thank you for having me on your show.
Sure.